I've arrived at the Nottingham Tennis Centre for the Nature Valley Open, and I'm standing in the dry of the media centre, looking out over the sodden, soaking and soggy courts. And even though it's only 9:30, I don't think there's any hope for play at 11, never mind for the rest of the day. The skies are black, the thunder is booming, the rain is teeming, and the journey from the car park to the accreditation centre was wet and horrid. Luckily, I have my full wet weather gear with me, but I've already seen some hardy, bedraggled souls keen for their tennis, sheltering wherever possible until the gates open. At least my pass was waiting for me, and I've hooked up with media manager Chris Ellis and his right-hand man John Mastrini. I met them last year here, and it's great to see them and catch up. I think it's pretty stressful for them today when you see weather like this and all the plans that have been made weeks in advance go out the window on the first morning. One thing this is not is a passing shower. Crazy as it seems, I'm going to study the order of play and get my requests in. Well, if it doesn't happen today, then I'll have them all done for tomorrow. And after I've done these requests, I really don't know. Gary has picked a perfect day to travel up. He said he was aiming to get here for 10, so I guess with this weather, it will be at least 12. For once, I can understand the difficulty of him getting here on time. But just to be clear, he wouldn't be on time with fine weather either. This just gives him the option for an actual excuse.
I've just got here, but yep. did you see the WhatsApp group?
Yeah, so I think you should go and get your pass, come in, because it's not too far down the road. Let's get a plan together, work out what we're going to do, and then we could nip over there.
So what I was going to say is I've just got my pass, and I was going to tell you to come and get in my car, and we'll drive to Derby, and we'll go see Jay.
Yeah, there is nothing going to happen today, I don't think.
No, I doubt it, looking at the weather. So it's taken me 4 hours to drive here today from my home in sunny Essex. When I left, the sun was shining, as it always does.
And yeah, but it's now got dreadful weather down there, down that way, apparently.
Well, no, it was pouring it down there as well. But the A14 was flooded where the roadworks are, so the traffic was absolutely horrendous. But fortunately, getting here, Jay's not playing till tomorrow, and now they're training at the David Lloyd Club in Derby.
Okay, hold on, I'll be there in 2 seconds. Where are you?
I'm in a blue BMW. And I'm next to the railway tracks. And my car is... Oh, look, I can see you. Turn round.
Oh, you're in the actual parking space, are you?
Yeah, I'm over here. Look, can you see where that flag is? Where the horn's going? So, the plan is then, which is perfect timing from Kurt, which is great that they're at David Lloyd, because we can go there... away from the hustle and bustle of Nottingham now, and sit down in Derby, Jay's hometown, and have a catch-up, see what he's been up to over the weekend since we were with him at Surbiton at the NTC, and then we can go from there and talk about what he's hoping to achieve here in Nottingham and his upcoming match against...
Against James Duckworth, Australian player.
Yeah, I just thought I'd double-check that you knew.
I knew. And do you know what their record is?
Please tell.
That means no, I don't know. Don't call me out on public podcast radio. Last time they played, Jay won.
Excellent. So we're hoping that Jay continues that winning streak against him, right?
I think he was talking about this, the fact that you play these tournaments and you're in them and you're playing sometimes players of higher ranking, so it becomes far more competitive. They're actually very similar in ranking, so this would be interesting, but there are some other interesting players awaiting if he gets through.
Right, so let's hatch a plan, and then from there we'll get over to Derby and spend the rest of the afternoon with Jay.
So is this your car, Gary?
No, it's Dropshot's car.
Dropshot's car. Excellent. Don't you have a car?
Yeah, I've got a car.
Where is it?
Well, use a Dropshot car instead of driving all this way in my car.
Trouble is, it looks like a giant tennis ball.
What, my car?
No, this one.
What do you mean?
I'm kind of joking to let people visualise you driving around in a giant green tennis ball.
What's going on here? I'm not in on this joke. Let's get into David Lloyd Club in Derby and meet Jay and see how he's getting on.
That's because it's raining so much in Nottingham, where it's meant to be warming up, playing, practising, and there's nothing happening there.
I know. It's a shame, isn't it? Because like we were saying as we're driving here, the event, they've got no control over what happens with the weather. They can control everything apart from the most important bit, which is whether it rains or not. And today has been a complete washout and there's nothing they can do about it.
No, it really is in the lap of the British rain gods.
It is. It is. Right, come on, let's get out. I'll grab my stuff and we'll head on in.
Cool. Sounds good to me.
Keep it running so you hear the door shut. So.
But now everyone's heard you giving me instruction. This is meant to be natural, Gary.
We'll cut that bit out.
Well, maybe we won't. Do you reckon we'll see David Lloyd?
I heard he comes here often.
So this is where Jay practices all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But obviously we can ask and find out.
He should be just in the club lounge.
Yeah. All right, nice one, cheers.
It's
through here.
Number four. Do you know where you've been before?
No.
No. That's right, you show you through. Yasmin, is Jay on court already?
Oh. Oh, hello. He's
Yaz, you all right?
Yeah, no, he's just in there. It's at the end. Yeah, it's just
in. Okay, cool. Yeah, you're just on court four if you come there. So it's just through this door here. It's the first one you get to.
Okay.
All right, nice
one. Far back. Cool. Oh,
okay.
Lovely. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hello again.
Hi,
how are you doing?
Good.
So
good.
This is Jay's sister. This is Kerry.
Hi.
Have you met?
Hi.
No, we haven't.
No. So he's going on court soon. He's just in the gym warming up.
All right, perfect. Right, I can set up that other mic.
Okay, he's on, I think he's on at three. I think three till half four he's on.
Sorry. What are we thinking? Because this is a shot. When they drop a shot of that, do I slice deep or slice short when I'm coming in?
There's some serious eating conversations going on here. This is important stuff. I've given up bread and potatoes for the last year.
Works.
It does work. I've lost 3.5 stone.
Or do you feel better?
Like instantly, yeah. Do you feel, yeah.
You instantly, biochemically, you just feel better. 3 days, you feel shitty for 2 days.
Yeah.
3 days in, suddenly you feel great. Is weird. The body doesn't like that stuff, really. And you're in a constant state of cloudiness, but you've been in it your whole life, so you don't realise. It's just suddenly.
I quite like my cloud, though.
Yeah, it's like I'll swap this cloudiness for a bit of chocolate. Works.
No, and no sugar either.
Yeah, the exact same thing. Yeah, no sugar.
And I'm okay.
Amazing.
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
Last two smashes.
So we're here at the David Lloyd Tennis Centre and you can hear Jay practising in the background. And I'm with...
Simon Brundish.
And your role is?
I'm his fitness guy. I think that's a technical term.
It sounds very technical.
I'm a strength conditioning coach by profession. But in tennis, they call him the fitness guy.
Okay, so I'm with the fitness guy. So I saw you doing some work with Jay just before he went on court. What was going on there?
Just the beginning of his warm-ups, that's all. So make sure we do some passive stretching so that I get to release the tension rather than him doing it with other muscles, so he can just relax a little bit more into end of range. That's all. It loosens them up more easily. And then raise body temperature. And then we were doing specifically... single leg balancers, trying to grip the hip is one of the things we're currently working on, so he gets more and more stable through each hip unilaterally. And then we're doing a few explosive moves just to start firing up the central nervous system and coordinating with the muscles, so he's explosive when he gets on court.
So how important is this for, say, injury prevention?
This is what my job is based upon. The science is sketchy, but there's lots of science that would favour it. There's lots. I've 22 years of within the industry, and I have lots of experience of how effective it is at reducing injury and keeping players available, because that's the end game, but then also improving performance. And the goal is that that he is ready to fly when he gets on court, rather than going through a process of warming for 10 minutes while he's hitting or while he's playing. So yeah, that's the goal long term. And just we take little times to increase movement skills as part of his warm up.
2, 3, 4, 5.
So is it an ongoing process? Do you deal with analysis? Are you working all the time to improve his conditioning?
All of those things. So every session, every movement and every session bleeds into the next one, has been bled into by the previous one. It's a big puzzle, and we're piecing all of these bits together, hopefully using science and evidence as the basis, but it's all specific to Jay rather than a generic, this is what fitness a tennis player should play. Like, this is so his conditioning is designed around his game style, but also against his movement screens and the biomechanics of Jay as an individual. And then we just try to refine each of those facets of fitness going forward.
Yeah, I know, mate. I didn't mean to miss that one. 6.
What were the stretches Jay was doing beforehand with you?
So it was the passive stretching that we were doing just to make sure his right across his three hamstrings, they were being stretched to end of range. We were doing PNF. We get a bit of tension in that muscle and then allow it to relax, and I will passively push it into end of range, and then you also get tension in the opposing muscle, and then that allows it to relax even further, and then we do one of each, and then it's just getting into end of range as dynamically and as easily as possible.
I'm still reeling over the fact there are three hamstrings.
There are.
The game plan, go through him when he comes in,
yeah.
Serve into his body,
yeah.
Keep closing the net because he opens up,
yeah.
Returning through the middle strong, and keeping the tempo high so he can't compete really.
And how long have you been working with Jay?
Oh, since February. So I'm fairly new to tennis, but it's been an interesting challenge. It enables me to think creatively every day and be analytical at the same time. So it's good fun.
So this is your first experience with tennis players?
Absolutely, 100%. First in anything to do with tennis. So the last tennis match I watched before I watched Jay in February was probably Sampras against Agassi.
Okay, in the days when haircuts were really interesting.
Yeah, exactly, and fitness wasn't all that important.
Do you notice that just by watching some of those old pieces
they
of footage?
They ran less, but they were also less explosive. But just across the board in all levels of athleticism in all sports in the last 20 years, it's significantly higher in everything. So in rugby, they're covering 50% more high-speed distance. In football, it's 35% more high-speed distance. Better athletes, better genes.
Yeah, because in rugby, there's no way they could have worn those shirts 15, 20 years ago.
Indeed.
So, yeah, so Jay's got really big thighs. What does that give him in his game?
That kind of suits his playing style in that he gets around the court really a ton and very fast. So my goal for him is to improve how quickly he gets off the mark from a standing position, how quickly he can change direction from a moving position. So we want him to create force, which is the size of the muscle, but then also be able to absorb force really rapidly. Again, so all three types of muscle contraction, and it works well with those massive thighs.
Can a player get too big?
In fairness, I've no idea. I'm not sure anybody in tennis actually does currently. I'm talking with the governing bodies of different countries about specific thresholds for the ideal tennis player. If you just look at the shapes and sizes of the different players, like compare Stan Wawrinka against Fed. from the same organisation, and the size of them is hugely disparate, and one of them produces massive forces when jumping off the ground or changing direction, while the other one still manages to produce massive forces when making contact with the ball. So I'm not sure there is any one size fits at all, but it's a matter of making the body shape the most efficient for the game style, or fit in the game style to the body type, for sure.
So it is really important to watch how they play and what their technique is, as opposed to just looking at their body and working with that. You need to.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not entirely sure you can look at a player structurally and see, okay, he plays this way, just from seeing his body. You have to see how they play and how they've been taught over the years and their coaching style. So, yeah, Jay moves a lot on court. He dominates through his athleticism. And I think he's still probably, he's 20, so he's still growing, literally still growing. And he's growing into his movement skill set, and there's still probably a 20% improvement to be had. And he's already as pretty much as good as anybody currently from a movement perspective, and I see him pushing well beyond where he is now as his tennis skills align with his brilliant movement.
Yes. No pain. Last two smashes.
So what was your background in sports? Were you working in other sports?
I've been doing this for 22 years as a strength and conditioning coach, and sport, largely I'm a sports scientist that happens to do strength and conditioning rather than the other way around, which is a fairly new career path. I've worked in basketball, rugby, football, cricket, across the spectrum from youth to international, and this is a good new skill for me to learn.
What's it like working with the Clark family? Because they seem like very interesting and enjoyable people to work with, very level-headed. What's it like being around them?
In all honesty, it's a delight. They are one of the big factors in my life as a coach is the coachability of a player. He is incredibly coachable. He is very receptive to coaching of any variety. But the way I like to coach is through offering bits of advice through questions, and he always wants to know more. And the family always want to know more, and they want more and more information. And I love data and information, so we can analyze everything and be as objective about our journey together as possible in developing Jay into a world-class tennis player. And the family couldn't be more supportive. I've honestly never met a more positive, genuinely positive bunch. I hope my family will be similar when they're of a similar age.
Brilliant. Well, I hope we get a chance to study and analyse some data with you at some point.
I'll be happy to share.
Thanks very much.
Oh, that was so good.
So, Gary, look at you.
Yeah.
You've got tea and cake.
I know. So, I didn't realise that they don't do takeout cups. So, when I ordered, I thought, I'll bring a coffee in a cup, you know. But I've got a little pot of tea, some china, my coffee and a cake. And it couldn't be any more inappropriate because we're courtside watching Jay practice, and I think we're going to have to go and sit in the canteen and drink and eat this.
Well, it does look come as back. Though we're living the life of Riley.
It's very English. It's raining outside on a summer's day and we have tea and cake.
Try and accelerate on everyone, yeah, Jay? That's tough. Yeah, good acceleration on the forehand side, more. You can nudge the back end. The forehand's gonna be tough to nudge, so, yeah. Better. You're hitting further through that as well, if that helps.
At the moment, you can hear Kurt in the background. They're giving some words of encouragement and advice to Jay, as Rob, one of the coaches, is serving and Jay's returning to him.
This is more efficient now. You can produce way more returns in and more aggressive.
See, so that, as you heard there, he's telling Jay to be more aggressive as he's returning from the serve.
Looks better, Jay. More time pressure when short and longer at the front. I'm not telling you to do that every single time. Obviously, judge the situation, judge the ball, but it looks better.
What I think's interesting is the fact that there's constant dialogue going on. There's studying, there's looking. It's like when we were talking to Simon earlier. They're always looking at things. They're always analysing. They're always working out what's right, what's wrong, what needs to be corrected.
Yeah, you can't do anything about that, yeah. And you actually did a good job. You were short, it was compact, it wasn't... Yeah, it's a good serve.
Jay seems to be very, very amenable to listening to all of that
like
as well.
Simon said earlier, didn't he, that he's good to coach because he listens.
And just keep it simple like that. Stuff like that, you know, simple targets or make it easy.
All what we're seeing here as well is they're prepping for tomorrow's game.
They know Duckworth. They've played him before, only 6 weeks or so ago in China, I believe. But obviously, they've seen him play. They've beaten him once, or Jay's beaten him once, but they want to get it right for tomorrow because I think it's a very important part of the season for Jay.
You can see the prep that goes in per match, and obviously it's the first match at the Nottingham Open, and it's the one that I can really prepare for, and the confidence Jay's got is obviously from that victory against Duckworth, but also this preparation that we're seeing.
It's the repetition of things I find interesting as well. It's just keep on going, keep on doing things, keep on working out your answers. Yeah, it's fascinating to watch.
This is professional sport.
Heads. Simon's not safe even behind the courts.
That was Simon nearly getting a ball in the face.
It's dangerous round here.
Lucky there's nets.
What? I wonder if at any point this summer I'll dig out a racket and just give him a little game at some point.
I'm tall enough to get it over the net.
I'm not sure now. I'm sure that the nets have got higher. It's funny though, I've got these photos from school when we played a summer rugby tournament and there's this photo of us there and I'm at the back, the tallest person in the team photo, playing number 8. And I come back the next autumn, I'm the shortest person in the photo and I have to play scrum half.
You bloomed too early.
Thank you for saying so. At least I bloomed.
I'm still blooming.
Tomorrow, just be smart when you chip and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, because you want, it's still better to have a hit if it's not really strong all the time. Good return.
Photo of it. On the court, you've got a couple of cans for the balls lying about, but they seem to be strategically placed, and a couple of other cones. Do you think this is aiming for where he has to hit his returns?
They want him to return within that zone.
Interesting.
So it narrows the court.
Nice, Jay. I like how you move to the middle of the court as well. That was a pacey serve, jeez. Just in terms of places where you served, I was thinking, where were you serving when you played him?
Kickers. A lot of kickers and big bodies.
Okay. So high percentage.
When he was up, when he was up in the game, he was going big flat tee.
I think we're done. I think we lost the court now, so. Yeah, done, yeah. Good work, Jay. You look good, mate, actually. You look really sharp.
How's the prep gone for tomorrow?
Yeah, he's ready now. Yeah, it's been good.
So what have you been doing today? Because the weather's been horrendous. So what's been your process today?
So, FIFA. Yeah, play FIFA at the club, yeah.
Football.
Yeah.
Burgers, a couple of beers.
Yeah, just trying to get as many balls hit as possible. You know, obviously, he's not hit that much the last few days. He's just been, you know, spending a lot of time in the gym with Simon and that's it really. So yeah, lots of sets of, you know, ball after ball after ball and trying to make it as repetitive as possible.
Right, so ever getting into this position is a stretch, what we've been before.
Yeah.
Like you can feel it. And into there, there's a stretch there.
Yeah, he's getting hit.
Yeah. And on the outside here, you can you've been really careful about this, and watch the there. Look
yeah,
at
I mean,
that.
What I'm
look
always looking for is the this left glute getting into the okay.
I know, that. I'm not talking about like general technical serve points. I'm just talking from a biomechanics that he can can do it, and he had great fear of
it. Yeah, it's good because I saw him doing it as well.
Exactly. So it showed him. It was like, okay. Even if he thinks he's not. Yeah. I think he's going to be fighting that whole time.
That's why I wanted to push him as well. I like to push him sometimes. He's not hit it that much for the last few days.
He likes it as well. He likes it hard.
Just looking at his legs as he's getting stretched, and they're going in places that I didn't realise they could.
Jay's very, very mobile. Actually, saying how strong he is and muscly he is, he's always really good physically. He was hypermobile for a lot, for quite a few years there, but obviously he's put a bit more size on now, so he's lost a little bit, but he's very, very flexible, yeah. He's look.
Can you get your leg back that far?
No, and that's why I'm not playing anymore.
That's how I start every day.
When we come here, Jay goes in the pool and has a swim and a stretch. I just go to the sauna. It's pretty bad.
That's the way to do it. Just let it all hang out in there. That's what I do. Just sit down like and breathe out. Ugh.
But I like to burn a few extra calories as well, so that's a good way for me to do it.
What are the challenges then when when he hasn't hit for a few days?
And you
get him here and the weather's not great, so he's trying to practice for grass courts and you're playing on carpet in there, which you said is closer to grass than maybe anything else, but it's the grass court season, you can't hit on grass. That must be a challenge, right?
Yeah, so you try and make the drills as relevant as possible. Obviously the situations, you know, you say obviously it's actually not too bad on the carpet because it bounces a bit lower, so it's a bit like the grass, so it's okay really, and I think obviously the players are a bit more accepting of the circumstances, but yeah, I think he's doing a good job with it all. Yeah.
So had it not been a monsoon outside, what would you have been doing today then, just to get an idea of the general practice the day before a big match?
All the things that make him feel good, you know, obviously working a lot of playing at the net, because obviously it's not just about this week actually, it's obviously about Queens next week and Wimbledon obviously the week after that, so always working towards the week that's coming after, I guess. We always do that, you know, if it was coming to the end of this grass court season, same for the hard court season. You know, lots of like drills that will actually help him tomorrow. And also, we always try and do it, cater it to the player he's playing. So, I don't know, say the guy doesn't maybe run as well to his forehand side, maybe working on playing a bit more there, or, you know, just those kind of little things. Or maybe serving certain situations, so he has to rotate or turn a different way, or, you know, sometimes using a short slice, or pull him off the baseline if he doesn't like come to the net. Just, yeah, kind of catering to the situation, the player as well sometimes.
Do you do this much prep during a tournament as well? Because obviously you know you're playing Duckworth tomorrow, but you don't know who you're getting in the next. I guess you know there's one of two players because of the way the draw works. But if he wins against Duckworth, how do you prepare for the next match?
Yeah, so I actually keep a diary of every single player he's ever played. And obviously sometimes you get a new player you've not played before, but then we add to the diary or we go back and say, oh, okay, this is a point of reference. And I don't know, we kind of see how Jay's game will fit into it. Oh, okay, you have this shot, well maybe we can use it to exploit this situation, or we use it like that a lot of the time. Oh, you hit your serve well. I mean, he's quite lucky, he's obviously got a lot of options with his game. He's quite an all-court player, obviously all-court like baseline and stuff like that, so we're lucky in that way that he has, you know, the options to do that. But yeah, that's kind of how we prepare. We watch a lot of matches, and I mean, most nights we'll probably watch like 3, 4, 5 matches of a person, try and watch it more on the surface he's going to play the person on. But if not, you know, we'll also try and scout a player that he's maybe played, or the person's maybe had a situation where they've lost to them, or, you know, and use that as well when Jay plays.
So are you confident, weather permitting, that tomorrow will be a good day for Jay?
We just try and take it, you know, one point at a time, always. Yeah, I don't look so far ahead. Yeah.
Is it really important to live in the present rather than think about yesterday, think about tomorrow? This is a mental sort of state.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, even on court, it's the same way. You know, every ball, I always say to him, you know, try and take the ball early, or, you know, focus on the strike here, or, you know, get your legs down. It's even every shot, I would say. Yeah. I think you have to analyse that deep. Or maybe it's just with Jay, actually, because obviously I've never worked with any other players. But with Jay, you kind of have to do that because he's not, like you say, he's an all-court player. So every shot has to kind of be specific, or there has to be a reason behind everything he does with it.
How long after a match do you sit down and start analysing, or are you doing it during the game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think a couple of years ago probably went straight away, but now, you know, obviously we've worked a lot of good professionals as well. Obviously, you know, even maybe not on the tennis side, and, you know, they've kind of said, you know, to have real clarity, you have to wait till the day after to see things a bit more clearly. You know, analysing straight away, things are a bit cloudy sometimes, and obviously especially being you know, related. So it's good to kind of step away, maybe take a couple of hours and then come back to it.
You get along well on court though, like when we had you mic'd up, you could hear what you're saying to him, and he sort of just carries on, but he acknowledges it. And yeah. Simon was saying that he's good to coach because he listens.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, again, like I say, it's obviously the way we've always done it. He's very receptive. I'm saying things and he's kind of taking them in. Even if I'm not, you know, he's not always saying, oh yeah, you know, I've got this, I've got that. I kind of, because we've kind of got a bit of like a telepathy or something like that, you know, I see him and I say something to him, I'll be like, yeah, he's heard it because he did it on the next shot, or he's trying to implement the things that I'm saying.
A non-tennis question, but we've been with you 3 hours today and that's your third cap.
I like my headwear. I like my jewellery. I like.
I just want to know how many you've got in your bag, because you changed it 3 times now. I'm like, whoa, it's an Australian Open one now.
I'm not going to tell you how many I travel with. That's for that way, yeah. I usually have about 4 or 5 different hats when I travel, and I've always got a woolly one tucked away actually in my tennis bag, just in case I need it. That's like the, and also it's good for bad hair days as well. If I'm not had a haircut for a while, I always keep it for that.
So you're Jay's coach and his style guru all at once.
Well, I actually cut his hair for him, so I travel with the dubbers as well. I actually cut his hair most weeks. Yeah, I've got to keep the boy looking fresh, so that's more the brother side though. Yeah.
We've been down here today and we've seen your team. Can you just quickly talk us through who we've seen here today?
Yeah, so you've seen obviously me and Jay. Obviously I coach, obviously Jay's a player. You've seen Simon Brundish, he's taking care of things on the fitness side. We've also got Rob Morgan. He's we brought him actually into hit with Jay, but he's actually helping a lot on the coaching side as well. You know, he's trying to develop Jay's game. Obviously, different perspective always helps.
We found out your secrets to the tour, though, from Yaz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I hear she does most of your travel arrangements and organisational side.
I was there going, Kurt does so much, Kerry. He does the coaching, he organises the travel. And he went, no, he doesn't. That's Yaz. I went, what do you mean? Cat's out of the bag.
I do a little bit more now. I'm booking the occasional hotel and occasional flight. But yeah, I don't find that part easy to honest. Yaz makes it look so easy. But she did it a lot herself when she travelled, so yeah. I try to leave that to her, to honest. I try to avoid doing that. Yeah. I try to make it look like I do a lot of that stuff, but I really don't. Yeah.
But it's quite interesting in the fact that you've got the family working on this. I mean, I think that's what attracted us to the story anyway, the fact that this family is a working unit.
Yeah, well, even my other sister actually does all Jay's accounts. You know, all the books and everything, so she actually does mine as well. I wasn't going to mention that, but you know, yeah, I might as well give a little bit of credit. It's not an easy job, so.
It's almost like that time on court is a very small fraction of the day. Everything, I liken it to actually being in a band, where actually it's all about getting to that point of the day where you go on stage and then how you utilise that time once you're off it. Yeah. But the actual time committed to the day.
Definitely, yeah. And then we all help out. I mean, you know, some nights we come, obviously when we're training at home, but some nights we come home and someone will make sure Jay's got dinner on the table, you know, eat something good, something healthy for him to eat. Obviously, you know, a lot of time we know he needs to eat within like 45 minutes to an hour of practice. So when we can and when we're home, we try and do things as best as we can, you know, all the time.
And is that also when you get home, you're trying to make sure it feels like a family unit?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're all very, very close. We obviously sit at the dinner table most nights and eat together, you know, when we can. You know, I always get a call from my dad if you know, he's like, are you coming home tonight? You know, you're going to have dinner there? Or so it is important to spend that time together, definitely.
So we're in Derby at the moment, but you're not staying in Derby, are you, where you're from? You're staying in Nottingham, right?
Yeah, so my dad's obviously had some, you know, bad health the last few years, so, and normally he would drive us back and forth. He loves obviously coming to the tournaments, you know, especially being so close, but it makes sense to stay over there. Actually, it helps with Jay's focus sometimes as well, where he's in a tournament, to feel that tournament vibe. Yeah, so it helps spend time around the other players.
So Jay, it's been a rainy old day, but that kind of hasn't affected you really, because you've not been down to play today. How do you deal though normally with sort of rain affected days?
Just make sure you stay active, don't sit in the room for too long. Yeah, you know, just try and relax, maybe watch a bit of tennis. That's what I do to keep my mind in that zone, some highlights of old matches, something like that.
And we're over here in Derby at the David Lloyd Tennis Centre. You must be about the only person in the area who's actually getting some practice time today.
Yeah, that's what I mean. To be honest, Nottingham is one of my favourite tournaments of the whole year, even though it's only a challenger. Like I said, I always used to go there and watch it when it was an ATP, so a lot of the guys who I'll be playing over the next few weeks in the bigger tournaments, I actually grew up watching playing Nottingham. So, yeah, it's obviously a big advantage for me because a lot of my friends and family get to come down and watch as well.
Tomorrow's game against James Duckworth, you played him only about 6 weeks ago in China.
Yeah.
And how was that for you?
Yeah, it was good. It was a good match. I think we both played pretty well. I went on to win the tournament, so obviously it was a good week for me. It was never easy. It was second match on grass for me. I think it's the first for him. Yeah, like you say, it'll probably end up indoors. So there's a few things I can take from the match in China, but that was high altitude clay. Obviously now we're at sea level on grass in the UK. So yeah, obviously it was sticking in his mind as well that I won the last time, but you know, tomorrow's a new day. So
do you think psychologically things like what happened in the previous match can create issues for the opposition?
Yeah, definitely. Going into the match, I think he was quite a heavy favourite. The last time we played, I didn't really do too much in the last few months. But yeah, no, like I said, I was playing well. When we played there, my game style fit well to his, and that's why I came away with the win. So hopefully I'll be able to get the job done tomorrow. Yeah.
And are you looking forward to getting onto a court and having a match?
Yeah, always. It's the best part. I like the training, but yeah, it's nowhere near as good as the match.
Great. Good luck tomorrow.
Cheers. Thank you.
Right, God, I'm getting soaked.
Oh, and it's brass monkeys out there. It's horrible.
Awful, awful. But that was an interesting afternoon that we spent with Jay and Clark. Jay and Kurt.
So just take that line again, why don't you?
Yeah, well, we're not that professional, are we? But that was interesting with Jay and Kurt, wasn't it? And with Rob, and just watching the way they train, and you know, we've been able to come away from the hustle and bustle of the event. And you know, be at this David Lloyd Club with them, and see how they work behind the scenes a bit more. And obviously, last week when we were with him at Queens and we spoke to him, when we were with him at Surbiton and we spoke to him about you know things that were coming up, and then we saw him practicing with Francis at NTC, and then you see a different dynamic today.
It's interesting because it was all about Jay today. It looked like Francis' thing. Yeah, they were going through certain things. But today they were working on specifics. They had things that they needed to look at and work on. A very different kind of hitting, I think, today. So it was fascinating. And we also met Simon as well, the fitness guy.
Yeah.
The fitness guy, that's what he calls himself. I love that. So we're starting to get to know his team a little bit more. And you realise just what it is that goes into making a tennis player.
Yeah, and what... The more, obviously, we knew Jay from last year and we've got to know him just in little, you know, bits and bobs throughout the time. But now, just spending more time with him, we were just saying as we were coming out that, like, we really want to see him do well. And it's really, you know, obviously we want to see a young British player do well anyway, but just being with Jay and seeing the way how hard he works and seeing the general atmosphere around the family, it just breeds this desire to see him go out and do well because... He's got so much support from his family and they're working so hard. They're doing it perhaps a little bit unconventional to how it happens for other tennis players and that makes it more endearing. And when you see Jay, he's so affable and he's relaxed and, you know, we're speaking to Kurt while Jay's getting a stretch and then he finishes his stretch and we just whack a microphone in his face and start speaking to him. And there's very, very few professional sportsmen that allow you to do that. And just him being so accepting to us being around and watching has been an experience.
What I think is also interesting is he seems like a very relaxed character. The whole family do. They all seem very relaxed, very normal, very much, oh, let's just get on with what we're doing. But as soon as you see Jay with a tennis racket in his hand, with a ball in front of him, or you ask him a specific question, you can see that desire in his eyes. There's something burning in there. And for me, that is the key for most sportsmen, isn't it?
He hasn't had anything given to him on a plate, and he's had to do it, you know, the unglamorous way. And I think it says a lot about his character and a lot about the family's ethos and their morals that, you know, he's got that built in him, and he's got that desire to actually go out, and when the odds are against him and the chips are down and he's there, you know, gradually moving up the rankings. You know, this time last year he was outside of the World 200, and he's seen that gradual progression, and just to keep seeing that go up and up and up as he's targeting the top 100.
Absolutely. Well, look, it's raining. I've left all my gear just sitting on a desk in Nottingham. Can we go and get it before
yeah,
they
I've
lock
got
everything
I've
up?
Got a 3-hour drive ahead of me, which took me 4 hours earlier, so I've got a dog that's probably got crossed legs as well right now, so I'm trying to sort out someone to go in and let him out.
Okay, well, we better get on the road.
I'm coming for you, Bruce.
You've been listening to Dropshot, a narrative podcast series written and produced by me, Kerry Levy. Gary Hayes was my co-producer on the series. And when he could be bothered to turn up, also travelled across the UK to record it with me. Taylor Hayes is Dropshot's sound engineer, while Leon Raczynski-Gorman ably assisted on several episodes. Our podcast artwork is by Matt Alabaster. And Jimmy Goodwin composed our music. If you would like to hear more about the series, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at This Is Dropshot. This has been an original production from Highway 61 and Kerry Levy.